Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And this week we're talking about the top 10 changes at Disney.
Yeah.
Asterisk, that need to happen.
Asterisk, now.
So this episode has a opportunity, I'll say, to be a little bit negative or down on Disney. So we don't want it to come off too negative, but there's... Like,
we're putting our Imagineer hard hats on.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, hey, how can we help get things better?
Let's plus it. Yeah.
Do you want to know? I want to talk about that for a second because I mentioned it in the last episode and we're kind of continuing here, but I didn't get it like Disney Plus until recently. I just figured out what the plus was about because, you know, everyone's been adding plus to stuff for a while now, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Those are Walt's words. I want to plus it.
Yeah.
How do we plus it? So it makes so much sense now when you put it in that context. And this episode is about plussing a number of things at Disney.
Yeah, I agree. I think,
and this goes beyond just the theme parks, although there's, as usual, going to be probably a heavy theme park influence here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with loving Disney and wanting things to be better. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's get into it. Just start going down the list. I'm going to come out guns blazing, coming out swinging. Dude, bring back the Disney store. Bring it back.
I thought you were going to say make churros twice as big.
I want 2 foot long churros and I want the Disney store. And I'll go in double fisting with my 2 foot churros in each hand.
Listen, I agree with you 100%. One of the most disappointing things that I feel like has happened in my lifetime is the closure of the Disney stores outside of the Orlando airport.
Yes. Yep.
That's like the last one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's maybe two others, I think, in prominent malls somewhere in the country. It's not many at all. We used to have one kind of close to us down here at one of the outlet malls. That was a Christmas shopping destination for various things, right? But you're right. We got to bring it back because Shop Disney is not good.
That's putting it nicely. Yeah, I think for me, the Disney store was like your escape to the magic when you couldn't escape to the actual magic. Like, just stepping in the Disney store was enough for you to be like, okay, I'm a little piece of home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because there were cast members that worked there.
Yep.
And you just felt like, to your point, Dak,
familiar costume, name tag,
familiar
music.
They're just the way they work, the way they interact with the customer. It's all Disney-like.
You could get your bouquet of Mickey-shaped lollipops, you know.
And sometimes they would have, like, at least at our local one, there was a discount section, but it was actually parks merchandise.
Yeah.
Which was really nice. Yeah. I really enjoyed shopping.
Parks merchandise, home merchandise.
Yes, right? Yes.
I mean, it's just one of those things. I think it's such a big miss. I get it, okay? I think probably outside of the holiday months, like many retail stores, it probably struggles, okay? But look, that is the retail model today. I get it. In light of e-commerce and everything like that, you know, maybe it doesn't make the P&L make as much sense. But here's the problem. Did I mention this? Shop Disney is terrible. I mean, if you go on the desktop site, it's unnavigable. It's hard to find things. Some of the categories don't make sense. And don't even get me started on the mobile app. That thing is a piece of junk.
Yeah, I agree.
And this fits in, frankly, and I'm just going to preview it later on when I say one of the things that needs to change is Disney IT.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, just, again, my experience the last few times that I've gone, and maybe this will kind of roll into why I liked Shop or Disney, the Disney store, is I have felt like the merchandising in the parks in general, I got to tell you guys, like, a lot of times my wife is dragging me out of the stores in the parks, but the last 3 or 4 times that I've gone, there's just not been that item that I'm like, oh, I got to have this at all. And so, and I think a lot of it, you kind of hit on it in the pre-show, Randy, was like the guys, the men's apparel and the men's clothing. I think it's lacking lately.
Yeah, very, very disappointed. So this is number two, right? You know, number one, bring back Disney Store. Number two, we got to up the merchandise game, and I would say specifically the men's clothing. You know, we talked about this a little bit. The t-shirts, the selection's not super great, okay? And beyond that, there's really nothing. The sock selection, the quality of it's gone down dramatically. I just recently had to finally sacrifice my favorite pair of socks. My favorite pair of socks. I've had them for like 6 years, okay? They're ones I wear every single week. They were monorail socks, but they were really, really high quality, right? They even had like an embroidered thing at the top. They were super high quality. And they offered those kind of socks for a couple of seasons. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. It went to something much, much lesser. And the socks that you get now, honestly, don't last me more than a year, right? Before all of a sudden... But it took, these socks lasted 6 years of weekly wear before they developed a hole, and it was just disappointing. I think that they can do a lot better. I know they can do a lot better because they've done it before. And when you talk about folks like us who have a cornucopia of Disney apparel.
A plethora?
Right? I mean, a plethora. I counted it one time, and I've got more than that now because it's been so long. But at one point, like, I had 44 Disney-themed t-shirts, right? Wow. Every single one of them different and unique. Like, there's opportunities here.
Well, and I think for me also, it's like, now that the Disney store is gone and I'm not finding the merchandise that I want at the parks, I'm left with, you know, mall stores. I'll just name drop here some Spencer's and some Hot Topic to go get my Disney gear. And it's just not.
What? You need to go to Box Lunch instead.
Yeah, Box Lunch.
I mean, even at that, I don't get the same feel walking into a Box Lunch. What's it called?
Box Lunch.
Box Lunch.
Box Lunch.
I keep wanting to call it my lunchbox. You know, like, yeah. It's just different.
No, it's not the same because they mix all this other IP in there.
Right.
And this is interesting. One of my favorite stores used to always be to go to World of Disney at Disney Springs. My last three trips to World of Disney, I purchased nothing.
Right.
And you guys know me. Like, I'll drop some money real fast on stuff that I think is cool or interesting. There's just, I don't know what's happened. I guess that's the point. What happened? I don't get it.
But you know who is liking this is those that sell things on Etsy.
That's true.
People that design Disney-related items, shirts, sweaters, handbags on Etsy are... Because, I mean, honestly, if I'm planning a trip and want Disney shirts, I'm probably going to look at Etsy first.
Yeah.
And see what designs do they have. Because also on Etsy, which they don't have at Disney, for men's, the 50-50 blend of, you know, cotton polyester, which I can't stand 100% cotton, which...
It doesn't breathe.
It doesn't breathe at all.
And it doesn't
and that's
hang
what
right
they
either.
Sell in the parks.
Doesn't hang right either.
No, it just doesn't. That's old technology. Let's get rid of the 100% cotton. Well, they do it because it's cheap.
Yeah, what's that t-shirt company that makes like the dad t-shirts? Like, we need those guys printing some Disney shirts, right?
Yeah. For sure. All right, we good there?
Yeah.
Next one on the list I had was just an overall rides and attractions. There are just we've talked about this on the show before. There's certain rides, there's certain attractions, and we can fold in a couple of topics we talked about under attractions. But my top three, Soren, it's time. Like when the Eiffel Tower is bending over almost sideways, it's time to upgrade the show, right? And there's others, you know, Spaceship Earth we've talked about before.
Well, I think with Soren, I think there's such a missed opportunity there. Because they've had what? Soaring over California and soaring over the world. We can be a little more specific. How about soaring over, I mean, you can do Europe.
And by the way, both of those films are old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and soaring over the world is like half CGI anyway. I'm like, give me the real video. Yeah. I want to see actual video of what I'm flying over.
It's just such a huge opportunity, right? You introduce Smellitzer technology into it and all sorts of stuff. But you're right. The thing that drives me nuts more than anything on Soarin' is watching that Eiffel Tower bend or watching, what is it, Neuschwanstein Castle or whatever. I don't remember what it's called, yeah. Right? But it's a beautiful castle.
Beautiful castle.
If you're in Section B center row, okay? But if you're in like A3 or C1, like... that's going to be a really distorted image, and it's an opportunity. Here's the thing. D23, every year D23, they announce stuff that's going to be upcoming and changing. And none of it ever has anything to do with the rides that need some attention, yeah. Right?
Space Mountain's another one on that list that we've talked about before. It's got to get upgraded.
Like, yeah.
It's time.
It's time. And I wonder, you know, with the extended closure in Disneyland of Haunted Mansion, right? I mean, it's going to be closed for practically a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, what are they doing there? Well, let's close Space Mountain. Like, let's, the original Space Mountain, let's close it for a year. Let's make it smooth. Let's add some music. Like, it can be done in a year. Everything that you need is really there. They could figure this out.
I feel like things can be done quicker than they do. That's just me.
And
with
what
they've done to Tiana's Bayou Adventure, it's been, how long has it been since they shut that thing down?
It's been about a year now.
Well, I guess that's right.
Yeah, it's been about a year, but you know, it's interesting. They're not changing the track on that, for instance, right? Tiana's really a retheming sort of a thing. There's just things that could be done, and I would be excited about an extended closure for something like one of the big attractions if that was the promise of the future, right? New ride vehicles, just something to update it and make it a little bit more fresh. You know, they need to do that to the Matterhorn.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
I mean, let's be honest, y'all. I don't even fit in the Matterhorn cart.
People are just bigger.
That is a painful ride.
Yeah. You know, I'm too tall, and both of you are taller than me, right? And I'm 6 foot, and so I just don't fit. It hurts. It's not good on the body.
And I think people's concern maybe is, you know, that nostalgic, which we've talked about before, right? There's that nostalgic factor that plays into all of this, and no one wants their memories to be changed or altered in any way, but we're not.
Well, getting the crap kicked out of it is not nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah. Just a complete overhaul here. You could make some structural changes without losing.
Who invented the Matterhorn?
Bob Gurr.
Do you think Bob Gurr would be okay if we made the Matterhorn a smoother ride now?
Yeah.
In his age, like to go and ride it? Don't you think he'd like a little smoother attraction? I think he would, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of it is we have to remember when we talk about plussing things, it's about taking what has been done and making it better.
Yeah.
Right. That's always been what plussing meant for Walt. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever intended for 1955 Matterhorn to stay the same 60 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you wonder if he walked into the parks, if he'd be like, dude, what are we doing here?
It's almost 70 years old now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
For sure.
It's almost 80, 45 plus 25. Yeah. 70. Yeah, you're right.
It's in there.
It's late.
Okay. along with attractions, virtual queues.
Okay, number four, virtual queues.
Yeah, let's bring them.
More virtual queues.
Virtual queues.
Think about how much money the parks are losing by people standing in a line getting frustrated by the Shop Disney app.
Oh, boy. We've identified our target. It is Shop Disney. No, I agree. I think there's enough attractions within the park that if you had you don't want a virtual queue for, you know, Goofy Sky School or, you know,
Carousel or Teacups.
Yeah, you don't need it on every single ride, but I think of your big e-ticket attractions, right?
Ones where you're in that line for an hour plus consistently. Yeah. Look, I'll say this. Peter Pan needs a virtual queue.
Absolutely.
I just was thinking that.
Absolutely.
Seven Dwarves needs a virtual queue.
Seven Dwarves needs a virtual queue. Space Mountain needs a virtual queue. Let me up you on Space Mountain there for a second. This isn't one of my 10, but it kind of fits into this, right? You remember the queue at Space Mountain, you used to be able to play video games in there.
Yeah.
And they took those out. And now the line is boring. And they replaced it with this idea that you could use the Play Disney app and you could play a game in there. And then those games started disappearing. And now it's just kind of down to nothing. And I'm like, wait, I thought we were supposed to get more advanced as the years went on, not less advanced.
Right.
I actually would love for them to bring the old game back that you used to play in the line.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think that you could, I mean, just going back to that virtual queue thought process, I think there would be a great rotation through the parks that if, you know, my queue number for Peter Pan is 14, I can go ahead and queue up for Seven Dwarves and come back in a half an hour, and it would just, I mean, I'm not a park engineer, but I think it would just flow better.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost the concept of if just everything was a fast pass sort, which it used to be,
right?
You basically used to be able to do it that way, and there wasn't a huge limitation on it. I think we're just missing. I've said this over and over and over again. Ever since the virtual queue was introduced, I said they are leaving money on the table by forcing people to stand in a standby line. I did not understand, and I do not to this day understand why they took the virtual queue away from Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Why there's no virtual queue for Flight of Passage. I mean, and when they switched to standby for Rise of the Resistance and the wait times were 3.5 to 4 hours long, they're leaving money on the table.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Tron go to a standby in the next 6 to 8 months.
It wouldn't surprise me. It would disappoint me tremendously.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next one on my list I had was a complete overhaul of Galaxy Edge. And so hear me out, fellas. What I think is let's dump the idea of the Kylo Ren time frame and let's bring Darth Vader back.
Kylo Crybaby?
I just...
You know where I stand on this.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we used to see Darth Vader in the parks all the time. He is an iconic bad guy.
He's the baddest dude around. He was so... When you watched Obi-Wan, did you not just get the chills like, yeah. Oh, snap?
Yeah.
Right?
And I think there's just so
and then,
much
And then I you want Obi-Wan walking around, right? Rey's fine, okay, that's okay. Bring me Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, listen, this is my opinion. I don't think Kylo's that bad. I think Rey's fine too. But I think movies 7, 8, and 9 have not struck that emotional chord with
they
a lot
don't
of people.
Star Wars.
If you were to take Galaxy's Edge and turn it into episodes 4, 5, and 6, and you have Han Solo walking around, you have Luke, you have Darth Vader walk, you're going to just tap into that emotional connection of everybody that loves Star Wars. And I think, to your point, Dak, I think 14 acres for Galaxy's Edge would be too small. If you tapped into that,
Galactic Star Cruiser's right back there doing nothing but gathering dust right now. Like they could expand, but I just think, why can't it be episodes 1 through 9 plus Rogue One plus Clone Wars?
Yeah,
right?
Rogue One. Yeah.
Why are we limiting
this
massive universe to something so small? Right. When's Yoda going to be walking around? Right. I mean, you know, look, he can be a robot, an animatronic, or whatever, like Grogu is with Mando, mm-hmm. but. The most iconic people, besides Chewbacca, do not appear in Galaxy's
yeah.
Edge.
Yeah. And I think there's just so much you could do, right? Like, again, this with Galaxy's Edge, I'd love them to bring back the Jedi training. My
yeah.
girls did that. They loved
yeah, so
it.
Yeah, so did mine. They loved it.
Yeah, it was just such a great experience for little ones to go learn how to
You know why they took it away? Because it was free. They weren't making money on it.
JPEG.
Yeah. That was one of those really good free perks.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah.
That typically did not, I mean, it would fill up, but typically if you wanted to do it or you wanted your kid to do it, they were going to be able to find a spot for your kid.
But here's, look, it's an opportunity for plussing, right?
Yeah.
Think about Smuggler's Run, which you all know is one of my favorite rides there in the park. But it's the Millennium Falcon. We could have any number of missions that's going on there.
And you could still
keep the Hondo backstory to a certain degree while doing other stuff and involving other people, right? It could be a different kind of experience, each group that goes through and walks mm-hmm. through.
Totally agree.
I just don't know why we have pigeonholed it to this 7, 8, and 9 stuff when those movies are done and made. Like, it's not like we're promoting people to go and watch them anymore, right?
And I just, if you can have a Star Tours that has
yes, exactly.
80 different versions or however many
from
it's up to now from all the movies, why can't you do that on Smuggler's Run? Like, let's open it up. Like, I love that idea. I think the other note that I had to, you know, add to the podcast here was, let's get those drones in there. We know you can do it. You've done it before. How cool would it be to have some TIE fighters and some X-Wing fighters soaring over Galaxy's Edge every so often. I just think there's so much potential there as a, you know, deep cut Star Wars fan that I am, to just open it up and let's go. Like, there's so much you could do there.
If we can have an acrobatic robot Spider-Man at Avengers Campus, like, yeah, certainly we can get some X-Wing drones.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the Force perspective of the whole thing is interesting. It's not like they've got to be gigantic drones, no, right? You can have someone with a remote control piloting them, because if you put them in the right spot, they look bigger than they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, the next one I had was kind of along those lines. Give me some more in-park characters. Like, I think this is way more popular at Disneyland than it is at Disney World. But get me some characters roaming around the parks. I know it's probably a logistical nightmare to have just characters roaming around, but it can work. Like, we can do it.
I've seen more lately than I used to see.
I was about to say, I think they are doing that more often.
But it's never been a big thing at Disney World, right? Hollywood Studios, some. The other parks, never so much. Disneyland, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
They're always walking around out there. Like, that was a cool part of it. I don't know why in Florida it's not the same. Maybe it's the humidity. I don't know. But and those costumes could be really hard. But for instance, you know, right now the Country Bears Jamboree is closed. I see the Country Bears out there in costume all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they are. My buddy Big Al is out there singing along. He's not singing. It's too bad. But yeah, I agree. We need more of them. And it needs, you know, we need them walking around, not just standing in a character meet and greet for another line.
No. Right. I'm not talking about meet and greets. I'm talking about actually cruising around the parks. I mean, to me, we've talked about the Halloween parties and the Christmas parties. That's part of the fun, is seeing some of these not common characters roaming around, like just being able to see them and interact with them. I just think we're missing an opportunity there.
And like, Queen of Hearts, like, yeah, don't you think she'd be walking around somewhere? I mean, there's lots of, you're right, there's so much IP that we could capitalize on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right, next one I had was, I mean, let's just throw him under the bus again. Pecos Bill.
It's time to go.
Let's just loop this as all one food. Like, let's talk about food in general. What would you change? What would you revamp when it comes to Disney food?
Well, we talked about this on two episodes ago, yeah, you and I, Dak. Yeah. I mean, Pecos Bill, let's turn that into Tiana's Cajun Kitchen. You know, I think, Randy, you mentioned earlier, let's make the Mickey pretzel not so stale anymore. Let's keep those things a little bit more fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of call this, like, we need better snacks, but I think if you went broader on the food spectrum, you know, one area, we've talked about this many times, one area that's really lacking, Magic Kingdom's food variety is really not great, okay? I actually prefer to leave the park to go and eat than to stay in it. Y'all talked in a couple episodes again about some of the food myths, right? Dining myths, you know, you know, iconic places like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest are really pretty to look at. The food leaves a lot to be desired. Now, having said that, I think some people could argue probably still Cinderella's Royal Table is the best food you'll get in the park. So that kind of tells you a little about the state of things. Okay. Yeah. It's not that it's bad. It's just that when you look at the bill at the end of the day, you're like, ew. I think, though, that we could do better. The pretzel's got to get better, you know. The churro in Florida doesn't work so much because churro doesn't work in humidity. That's why it's so good in California.
Yeah.
There's no humidity there, right? I read this whole big, long article about the science of churros and why it'll just never work the right way in Florida.
That's fascinating to me.
Isn't that interesting? But, you know, I also remember in California once I went and got this Dole Whip that had like this sauce on it. You guys remember that?
Yes.
And you guys looked at me like I was nuts. It had like cucumbers and other things and it was one of the most delicious ice cream things I've ever had in my life. We can do better in the Magic Kingdom. We can improve our food options and we can improve the snack options overall. It's really hard, by the way, to find some of these snacks in some of the parks. Like, there's only a couple pretzel carts in all of Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. There's only a couple churro carts in all of Hollywood Studios.
And there's only one cheeseburger spring roll cart in all of Magic Kingdom.
That's one too many.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we could ride that that food horse to death, but I just think there's some room for improvement in a couple of places there. All right, next one I had on my list, nighttime shows and entertainment. So I would say outside of Happily Ever After, there's just, and you know, Fantasmic, but...
By all accounts, Fantasmic is, it's come back, obviously. When I saw it, you know, before they took it away, I thought it was a great show. By all accounts, it's come back better than ever.
Yeah.
You know, so...
It is a great show. I saw it recently.
Oh, okay.
Seen it this year. Thoroughly enjoyed it. By the way, it's my first time seeing it at Hollywood Studios. So I guess I can't say it's better than ever. I compare it to Fantasmic at Disneyland, right? Mm-hmm. Effectively the same show, but with better seats.
Better seating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just standing and trying to look through people's heads and smell their whatever.
Well, that's part of my revamping is I don't know how Disney could do it, but somehow figure out a way to make that viewing experience better.
Yeah.
Like being crammed in the hub with 30,000 of your best friends. There's just, and Ryan, you brought up an interesting point about Happily Ever After and maybe a double show. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you start thinking about what they're going to do with this concept of Beyond Big Thunder, which is the expansion behind Big Thunder, behind Haunted Mansion, where they're going to add, you know, and you've heard the rumors, maybe an Encanto Land, maybe a Coco Land, maybe a Villains Land. They're going to do something back there. And from all accounts, it's going to be a fairly large expansion. So you start looking at expansion, you start looking at increasing capacity.
Maybe Darth Vader will walk around back there.
Maybe Darth Vader will walk around back there. But you start looking at, they have to increase capacity. So, yeah. And I've heard, and I've seen a couple of YouTube videos, and you know, it could be anywhere between 2 to 10,000 additional capacity when they expand Magic Kingdom. All right, so let's take, for example, let's say it's 10,000. And it's 9 o'clock or it's 8 o'clock and now it's time for Happily Ever After to come on to show, you're going to have 10,000 additional people trying to cram into the hub. That's just not going to work. It's already too crowded in the hub and they have people lining down Main Street. It's too crowded. So my suggestion would be show it twice. Do an 8 o'clock show, do a 10 o'clock show, or do a 9 o'clock show, do an 11 o'clock show so that you have an opportunity. If you don't see the first one, because after that first show, a lot of people are going to go home. They're going to take their kids. It's time for bed. And you're going to have less people for that second show. And if it were me, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait for the second show because I know it's going to clear out.
And they do that on the party nights. Like on the party nights.
Yeah, there's two fireworks
there's
shows.
Two there's fireworks.
They should just do it every night.
Yeah.
Just every night. Two shows.
And again, I know there's a cost factor here that, you know, obviously we have no idea what these fireworks shows cost, but you just got to do better. Like there's got to be something that lowers that crowd level to make a better user experience for Disney's customers, in my opinion.
Yeah. I've gotten pretty good at finding my spot for Happily Ever After. There's basically two places I kind of go to now and I know I can get in there. I will say this, it is interesting. The hub's not as crowded as you think it is. There's a lot of space out there once everyone stands up. Right? So, you know, 5-10 minutes before the show starts and they make everyone start standing up, there's a lot more space out there than you think, but it's still a lot of people. And I agree, it's hard, you know, when you get stuck behind, you know, a kid on someone's shoulders or someone holding balloons or, you know, everyone with their phones up. Guys, you got to put your phones away. Watch the show with your eyes for a second. It makes it hard. So I actually like the idea not just to thin the crowd out. I'd like to have the opportunity to see it twice in case the first experience wasn't so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you bring up, sorry, Dak.
No, you bring up a good point.
Like we do it when we go and we've done it together. We get there 45 minutes to an hour before the show starts. Yep. We know where to go. And we've had luck getting there 30 minutes before the show starts because you just know if you've been there more than once or twice, there are certain areas that are more conducive to watching the show. But if you're a family of five or six, you've never been there, this is your first or second trip, you may not know to get there 45 minutes before the show starts.
Or maybe you couldn't, right?
Or because that you couldn't.
Because all of a sudden that was the time Space Mountain decided to crap out on you.
Yes.
Right when you're the next people to get on. And you got to wait 30 minutes for it to come back online because they don't tell you that it's not coming back online anytime soon. It's just that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes you can try and be as prepared as you want to and you just can't. So why not have two shots to do it? Why do we put all the eggs in that one basket? Or even think about this for weather issues, right?
Yeah.
You know, recently I saw it and the clouds were too low when it went off at 8:15. By 10 o'clock, there were no clouds at all. And it's like, boy, if we'd had a show at 10 o'clock, it would have been beautiful. At 8 o'clock, you actually couldn't even see the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's an opportunity. I think, too, though, beyond that, you know, growing up going to Disneyland, I remember watching the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Bring it back.
Right?
Yes.
Now the Electrical Parade is on Bay Lake. And if you are staying at a resort over there, you can see it. Or sometimes you can see parts of it if you're on the ferry boat traveling back and forth from the transportation to ticket center. But, like, why don't we do that? The parades they do put on, they don't really move the needle for me any. There's nothing mm-hmm. unique about it. It's just characters on a float, okay? And you see that during the daytime. Why don't we do something special at nighttime? That's when the real magic happens.
I would love to see the electrical parade come back at night. I love that parade.
Well, and that was the second half of my thought process of things they need to change at Disney now is, like, give me some better nighttime shows at some of these other parks. Hollywood Studios, I mean, I know there's this, I can't remember what you called it, Ryan, the animation history thing. Like, the Star Wars show they had there, we were talking about this in the pre-show, it was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal to see the Star Wars on the Chinese theater there. And just the laser projection show that they had. And it was just great. I think, again, over at Epcot, you have such a huge viewing area to put on a spectacular show. And they've proven they can produce a spectacular show.
Harmonious, when it was fully working, was probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. Yeah, I mean, I put it up there with Happily Ever After. When you could see and everything was going and working and it was great. That was spectacular. It had all of the elements, right? And the thing they're doing now, like the first 5 minutes of it, there wasn't even a Disney song in there.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Give
me something that is thick in that Disney tradition and history and music and emotion. And I know you can. And with Spaceship Earth now and the improvements that they've done there, there's just so much more they can give me.
And I'll even say this, there was basically right after Harmonious, there was a little intermediate show and I think they moved to something else, but they did this thing for a very short period of time and it was very, very moving there in Epcot, and it was Walt.
Mm.
You know, and it was Walt speaking and talking. It was clips from him. It was the kind of thing that brings tears to your eye sort of thing, and then the music goes and gets you. And so I was really excited and hoping. I'm like, wow, they did this amazing thing for this intermediate show until this thing, Luminous, came up. And boy, it just disappointed me so much. And I wonder what the test audiences they use are made up of.
Right, right.
Well, and I will say, when we were there just for our guys trip recently, for me, the surprise was when we were walking out of Epcot and the Muppets were singing.
Yeah.
There's the lighting on the sphere on the ball there
on Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, I didn't realize it was a show at first. I'm like, no, this is an actual show that they're doing. Yeah. I thought it was really cool.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I had two more for us.
Number nine, here we are.
So for me, and I'm a Disney travel planner, right? Try not to promote that too much, but as for the first time family going, stop making it so complicated. Getting reservations, Lightning Lane, Genie Plus, just getting into the parks, right? The whole turnstile process of getting up there. I mean, as a multi-goer of Disney, I can't stand being behind people that
inexperienced.
Yes, but
get out of the way, Rook.
But part of this is just
But that's not their fault.
Yeah, it's not their fault. Exactly. And I just think that, like, you know, out at Disneyland, they're still doing calendar reservations. You mentioned for pass holders, they're still doing calendar reservations. Like,
for some days, not all days.
Just, you got to check a calendar. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, why do I have to have this degree in quantum physics to figure out how to go to Disney? Let's just, like, dumb it down a little bit and let's just go have a great time at the parks. I don't know what y'all's take is on that, but I just think every time I send somebody to Disney for the first time, I feel like I'm giving them this massive lesson of, okay, this is how the app works. This is how you mobile order. This is, and for me as a multi-user, yeah, I get it and it's super convenient. But for the first time goer, man, it can be complicated.
Well, a lot of Instagrammers right now are making, I don't know if they're making money, but they're making something teaching people with their reels and their posts about this is how you do Disney Plus. This is how you rope drop. This is what you do, how to get your Lightning Lanes first thing in the morning. Like there is so much, like you said, Dak, there is so much that you have to know, that you have to be able to do to make your trip enjoyable, that it almost makes it not enjoyable at first because you're so overwhelmed and stressed out with learning how the app works and whatnot. So, you know, it's you feel bad for those that don't know how to do it because it is such a big part of the trip that you're just like, you know, let me just, and you see him walking around the park. You're like, oh, I know that's a first timer. I just want to go up there and just, hey, let me take 5 minutes. Let me just show you how all this works, you know?
Well, and the Disney lover in me is like, I hate when I hear people say, oh, that was awful. We're never going back there again.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, it just breaks my heart because I'm like, dude, this was your opportunity and you're dropping some coin, right? Like if you're that family from Ohio, right? Nothing against Ohio, but you're that family of five from Ohio and this is your one big blowout Disney trip and you go and your dad and you just dropped $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 on this trip and it turns out to be a disaster. You hate Disney, right? Like, so that's my fear in all of this. It's like somehow let's make it easier for that first time user.
Yeah, I have a whole lot of thoughts on this. One, I just think, you know, I don't know if y'all remember this, but back in the day when you went to Disneyland, you just went up to the ride and you picked up your paper ticket for your return time, right? But that was simple. Okay. Nothing else needed, right? That was the original Max Pass. Complimentary, no big deal, right? It was simple. It's really become very complicated now, like really complicated. And the thing is, sure, there's lots of people online showing folks how to do it. It's not really helping because it actually takes a level of sophistication beyond just watching a 30-second, 60-second Instagram reel, 2-minute long YouTube video. And I experienced this, you know, like you, Dak, my wife's a Disney travel planner and she had some of my family from the West Coast going to the East Coast. Hmm. This was their first time to Disney World. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And these are pretty technologically savvy people. These are folks that as this was going on in my mind, was like, oh yeah, they'll have a great time. This will be easy. They'll pick it up. No problem. And I remember, you know, I'm actually the Genie Plus expert in our family, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And even on our trips, I kind of, that you know, this is, I take a lot of pride in my Genie Plus abilities. And so I remember actually that a couple of days before these folks in my family were going to go, there were some questions about the order and the schedule. And Kayla does a great job. Like, hey, on your first day, like these are the things you need to do at this hour, at this hour, at this hour, right? At 6:45, you need to be awake so that you are by 7 o'clock able to do this first thing and then this next thing.
Right.
And to me, for whom this has become second nature, I had this huge realization as I was explaining this to them. Holy crap, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? It literally finally hit me like that this is so complicated. Now I'm worried that they're going to miss out and they're going to have a terrible time because their favorite movie is Tron and they want to get on it so bad. And I'm trying to tell them how to use an atomic clock to ensure that you are able to hit the button at the exact second you need to get in a virtual queue.
Yeah.
And then warning them, just keep hitting go all the way through. Don't read any of the stuff, right? Wow, Dak, you're so right. We've got to find a way to make this easier, more user-friendly, less frustrating, and that is particularly for the prices we're asking people to pay to use those services now.
Yeah, totally.
Well, and I think, too, if you remember when Rise of the Resistance came out, there was, and I can't remember, this was a long time ago, and I can't remember where I read this, but there was an article that came out that complained that why would Disney create, design, build an attraction that could not accommodate everybody that went to the park that day? So, and that's just what's happened since then with Tron, with Cosmic Rewind, with all of these new attractions. They're not built to accommodate everybody that goes to the park. If you have 50,000 people going to Magic Kingdom in a day and Tron can only accommodate 2,000 an hour, half the people there are not going to get to go on that attraction. I don't know how you fix that. I don't know how you fix that other than, yeah, we're just going to remove all virtual queues. And if you want to do it, you may have to wait in line for 8 hours, but hey, you're going to get to do it. I don't know how you fix that. Make the rides less fun. It's not going to work.
Great point.
So yeah,
it's a good point.
I don't know.
All right. Last one I had, this one may be a little bit, controversial.
Uh oh.
Bring back the Hollywood of Hollywood Studios. So I think somewhere along the lines, this concept of it being an actual working studio has slipped away.
It's gone.
And
with the exception of the Indiana Jones stunt show.
Yeah. Bring that back. Bring back that feeling of, you know, we talked about this, Ryan, on the way over here. Bring back the great movie ride. Like, bring back the stunt show spectacular.
What was it?
Like,
lights, cars, action, lights, or something?
Motor,
like,
action.
Lights, motors, action. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that makes me feel like I'm back at the studios, right? Even something as simple as how animation works. I mean, really, the only thing you have there is if you decided to walk through that Walt Disney history. Now
Walt Disney, like, Presents?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that there's some opportunity there to bring back that feeling of a working studio.
You know, and if you're not going to, maybe it's time to change the name, right? Hmm. I mean, it opened as MGM Studios. Now we change it to Hollywood Studios. But if our focus is not going to be on the studio part anymore, which it clearly seems like it's not,
right?
I mean, it focuses on movie IP, but it doesn't focus on the studio part of it. Yeah, maybe we just need to call it Hollywood Land or whatever, you know, something like to be kind of different. Listen, I love the theming of Hollywood Studios. I mean, I think it is spectacular, but I do think that you've really hit something poignant, which is it is not the studio experience, though, right? There's hardly any place in there anymore which you can even tell is part of the studios. Even the ABC commissary, most people don't realize, oh, this is supposed to mimic the cafeteria where people who work at ABC go to have their lunch, right? Like,
exactly.
It took me years to figure out ABC commentary. Boy, they couldn't even come up with a unique name for it. And I'm like, oh, ABC, the American Broadcasting Corporation, duh. Like, you know, Backlot Express as a, I don't understand that one, actually. I kind of do, but I kind of don't. You're right. We could capitalize on this so much more.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The concept of like 1920s Hollywood and just, you know, the time that Walt lived in Hollywood, and I mean, it's there. Just like bring back some of that stuff.
Yeah,
I agree. I miss the great movie ride. That to me, that was the beginning of. And let's be. I mean, Hollywood Studios is still a great park.
It's absolutely.
It's a fantastic park.
Yeah.
But to your point, the theming of old Hollywood has started to, not started, it has almost disappeared. I missed the Backlot Studio tour. The Lights, Motor, Action stunt show was pretty good.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was especially fun for the younger kids, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I don't actually think the younger kids really understand much about the Indiana Jones stunt spectacular. So they kept that one. That really kind of panders a little bit more to our generation,
sure.
Right? The younger kids, like My youngest son's like, oh, I haven't seen that movie because it doesn't seem interesting to him, right? It's just not, at this point in his life, the sort of thing he's super interested in.
Yeah.
But you, the lights, motors, action, like you got cars racing around, things blowing up, like
it was
you
cool.
You don't need a storyline there. He was excited to watch that sort of a thing, right?
Yeah, for
and that's
sure.
how you get people interested. It's like, oh, wow, that's cool. You can do that when you make a movie. I don't know. It's really interesting. Now, I do want to say this as we kind of close it out. This probably, and you let off of this, Dak, it feels like this was a negative episode.
Yeah, I hope not.
We don't mean it to be. Yeah. We're talking about like, man, we've got some great ideas. We know other people do too. And that means that I have a lot of confidence that the Imagineers are already probably working on all of these things. I just don't think that we came up with any of these things whole cloth of our own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
You know, from the people who live and breathe this every day. And so it makes me excited because I know that they're trying to figure out how do I plus it.
Yeah. No, I agree. And certainly apologize if this came off as a negative episode. Look, we love Disney. We love it so much and we care about it so much that we want it to be this exciting destination for us and our families and our children's children for years and years and years and years. And so, and if there's just some things that we could make some little tweaks on and changes on, yeah, we'd love to, right?
I don't think we're negative. Okay. I think we were, yeah. I think we just said what everybody thinks.
Yeah, that's right.
If you go to Disney, you're like, yeah, I mean, what these guys were talking about, I totally get it. Yeah. Like this needs to happen. And Randy, I agree with you. I think there's people in a room somewhere thinking this stuff up already. They have to be. Because that was Walt's vision. Walt was always about progressing to the next.
It was never going to be next? Finished.
It was never going to be finished. Never going
to be finished. And one day when I go into casting and I turn in my application, this episode will be attached to it.
There you
right?
go.
You know, as proof that, hey, I got some thoughts.
Yeah, that's what I was just
And I'm here to help.
How great would it be to be the guy that's in that blue sky room where they just come in and say, nothing's off the table.
What do you want?
Nothing is off the table.
You know, that's how Eisner used to do it.
Yeah.
And then Iger did a lot of the same sort of thing, right? You know, Eisner just said, well, what are your ideas? And then he
brought
turned
his
to Frank.
Son in.
And then he turned to Frank and say, so how are we going to pay for that?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and let's not forget, they have already announced that they are going to be investing, what is it, $16 billion?
A lot of money.
Over the next 10 years into the parks. Like, they are going to be doing some amazing things. So,
super exciting.
And I think for us, we're probably just a little impatient, but
yeah,
you know, that's just us.
That's what it is. Yeah. Well, great show, guys. I appreciate you, you know, going along with me on the things we would love to see enhanced at the Disney parks.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Thanks, everyone.
In our lifetime.
Bye.